We are going to get our reading today from the book of John, chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 11. After this, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a religious festival. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool with 5 porches. In Hebrew, it is called Bethesda. A large crowd of sick people were lying in the porches, and the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that the man had been ill for such a long time. So he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one here to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am trying to get in, somebody else gets there first." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Immediately the man got well. He picked up his mat and started walking. The day this happened was a Sabbath, so the Jewish authorities told the man who had been healed, "This is a Sabbath, and it is against the law for you to carry your mat." He answered, "The man who made me well told me to pick up my mat and walk." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody knows that oysters make pearls. Pearls are made by marine oysters and freshwater mussels, and they're the result of a wonderful act of self-defense. When some kind of irritant, be it a piece of grit or a grain of sand or even a parasite, gets into an oyster shell, in an effort to prevent the intruder from damaging its fragile body, the oyster makes a pearl from it. But not always. In actual fact, when a piece of grit manages to get into an oyster shell, one of two things will happen. Either the oyster will die, or it will succeed in making a pearl by coating the intruder with layers of nacre, effectively integrating the irritant into its own shell, and as an unintended consequence, creating something both precious and beautiful in the process. Making a pearl is one of nature's fascinating survival mechanisms. The only way in which the oyster can protect itself from the irritation and to carry on living, but not all of them manage to do that. Well, I want to use that analogy for what's happening at the moment in the Church of Scotland. The Church of Scotland, in the process of introducing a piece of grit into the oyster shell that is the familiar and established church that we all know and love. And that piece of grit is change, real change, arguably the greatest process of planned change ever experienced. Change at congregational level, change at presbytery level, and change at national level. And we're not talking about tinkering around the edges. We're talking about real change that's going to impact and affect both you and me. We're talking about a reduction in ministers, a reduction in our buildings, having to adopt new ways of working and embracing new, potentially exciting and collaborative ways of expressing our discipleship. Are these changes going to be the irritation in the oyster shell? For sure they are. That's a given. The question for the church and for us is, out of all of this, can we make a pearl? Can we learn to live with what's now among us? Can we integrate and transform what some may neither have wanted nor anticipated into something wonderful and beautiful and worthy of treasuring? Fundamentally, we're looking and facing a challenge to the status quo. But I feel positive about it, not least because the ability to challenge the status quo has for so long been a part of our religious heritage. Take the reading we heard today from John's Gospel. It's a simple story, but it is incredibly powerful. In the account, Jesus asks the man a simple but thoroughly profound question. Do you want to get well? Now, that's hugely significant. Jesus gave the man a choice. He gave him an option. Jesus reached out. The man was in control of what happened next. Wellness and change were not imposed. Jesus was asking, what does the man want? What does he really want? Because if the answer to Jesus' question, if the answer to do you want to get well was yes, then that yes was going to come with consequences, both for the man and for Jesus. This exchange took place on the Sabbath. Now, you didn't carry anything on the Sabbath, because to carry things out with the home amounted to work, and nobody worked on the Sabbath. So even carrying a mat would have been forbidden, and you certainly didn't perform miracles on the Sabbath. So in that short encounter, both men took a risk. The desire to live, to thrive, to be well, to find healness, find wholeness, mattered more than the religious rules, the religious norms of the day. I wonder how much courage it took to go against the flow. I wonder how much irritation Jesus caused to the religious authorities, because they certainly went on to persecute him for his actions. Jesus' actions, though, were always about offering people life, and life in all its fullness. And in this case, the offer wasn't conditional. It wasn't for tomorrow. It wasn't for after the Sabbath was over or for some undefined point in the future. It was for now. And grasping the opportunity, doing what had to be done, caused irritation. Even all these years later, same question could so easily be asked of us, couldn't it? Do we want healing, change, life in all its fullness now, right this minute, not in another day, not tomorrow when it's safe to pick up our mat, not in 2 days' time when the authorities' eyes are looking in the other direction, but are we ready for it now? Are we able to accept the offer of life in this moment, irrespective of the consequences, irrespective of the difficulties? Are we able to prize Jesus' offer of life in all its fullness above conventional practice, above social norms, above what's come to be expected? That's the choice that Jesus presents us with. The offer of life and transformation is for now, not for when the conditions and circumstances are different, not for another time or another place, not for when it might be safer or easier, and not for when the conditions might be more favourable or the consequences less challenging. Jesus' offer of life and life in all its fullness is for now, and he invites us to pick up our own mats, whatever they might be. Do the unthinkable, to try the unimaginable, to break with tradition, and to challenge our own assumptions about what's possible. That act of healing and kindness produced something both wonderful and beautiful. It offered a fellow human being the chance to live in a way in which he'd probably not lived for a very long time. That was the power, the gift that Jesus gave to that man. So breaking the rules, defying expectations, challenging the norm, redefining religious parameters, all those things are our inheritance. Our faith is absolutely grounded and rooted in a man who, through his example, calls us to take risks in the name of love. What we choose to make of things in the next few months and years will be up to us. But it's always worth remembering, I think, that perils come from the oddest of places.